This audiobook is entitled Golden Rules for Making Money. It is written by P.T. Barnum and read by James Wilson. P.T. Barnum died in 1891 and was probably best known for the Barnum and Bailey Circus, on which the popular film The Greatest Showman was based. This book contains his thoughts on how to be successful in life and make money.
Chapter 1. Introduction.
The Art of Money Getting, or Golden Rules for Making Money, by P.T. Barnum. In the United States, where we have more land than people, it is not at all difficult for persons in good health to make money. In this comparatively new field, there are so many avenues of success open, so many vocations which are not crowded, that any person of either sex who is willing, at least for the time being, to engage in any respectable occupation that offers, may find lucrative employment. Those who really desire to attain an independence have only to set their minds upon it and adopt the proper means, as they do in regard to any other object which they wish to accomplish, and the thing is easily done. But however easy it may be found to make money, I have no doubt that many of my hearers will agree it's the most difficult thing in the world to keep it. The road to wealth is, as Dr. Franklin truly says, as plain as the road to the mill. It consists simply in expending less than we earn. That seems to be a very simple solution. Mr. Micawber, one of those happy creations of the genial Dickens, puts the case in a strong light when he says that to have annual income of £20 per annum and spend £20.06 is to be the most miserable of men. Whereas, to have an income of only £20 and spend but £19.06 is to be the happiest of mortals. Many of my readers may say, we understand that this is an economy, and we know economy is wealth. We know we can't eat our cake and keep it also, yet I beg to say that perhaps more cases of failure arise from mistakes on this point than almost any other. The fact is, many people think they understand economy when they really do not. True economy is misapprehended, and people go through life without properly comprehending what that principle is. One says, I have an income of so much, and here's my neighbor who has the same. Yet every year he gets something ahead, and I fall short. Why is it? I know all about economy. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. There are men who think that economy consists in saving cheese parings and candle ends, in cutting off twopence from the laundress bill, and doing all sorts of little mean dirty things. Economy is not meanness. The misfortune is also that this class of persons let their economy apply in only one direction. They fancy they're so wonderfully economical in saving a halfpenny where they ought to spend twopence that they think they can afford to squander in other directions. A few years ago, before kerosene oil was discovered or thought of, one might stop overnight at almost any farmer's house in the agricultural districts and get a very good supper. But after supper he might attempt to read in the sitting room, and would find it impossible with the inefficient light of one candle. The hostess, seeing his dilemma, would say, "It's rather difficult to read here evenings. The proverb says, you must have a ship at sea in order to be able to burn two candles at once. We never have an extra candle except on extra occasions. These extra occasions occur, perhaps twice a year. In this way the good woman saves $5, $6, or $10 in that time. But the information which might be derived from having the extra light would, of course, far outweigh a ton of candles." But the trouble does not end here. Feeling that she is so economical in tallow candles, she thinks that she can afford to go frequently to the village and spend $20 or $30 for ribbons and furbelows, many of which are not necessary. This false connotation may frequently be seen in men of business, and in those instances it often runs to the writing paper. You find good businessmen who save all of the old envelopes and scraps, and would not tear a new sheet of paper if they could avoid it for the world. This is all very well. They may in this way save $5 or $10 a year, but being so economical, only in notepaper, they think they can afford to waste time, to have expensive parties, and to drive their carriages. This is an illustration of Dr. Franklin's saving at the spigot and wasting at the bunghole, penny-wise and pound-foolish. Punch, in speaking of this one-idea class of people, says, they are like the man who bought a penny herring for his family's dinner and then hired a coach and four to take it home. I never knew a man to succeed by practicing that.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?